It is 6:45 on a Wednesday evening in Lansing. Thank you for joining us. This hot, dry weather has been devastating to Michigan's fruit crop, but one agricultural industry that has not been as negatively impacted are wineries. Turns out that hot and dry conditions are not necessarily a bad thing for wine grapes. To learn more about it, I'm joined by John Rivenberg. He's the owner of Bending Branch Winery. It's actually in Texas, in Comfort, Texas, part of the Texas Hills Country Winery Association. John, thanks for joining us on WILS this evening.
Oh, thank you for having me, Michael. Thank you.
Your website, by the way, bendingbranchwinery.com. Now, we're facing a bit of a drought here, some really hot and dry conditions. What is that likely going to mean for the types of wine that comes out of the grapes that are being grown right now?
Well, I tell you, one of the pluses from a drought year for a viticulturist is you have total control over the variables in which makes great wine grapes. Water and disease are pretty well managed when there's no humidity and no water to be had naturally.
I mean, how is it, though, that you see other fruit crops completely devastated by these kinds of abnormally hot conditions, yet wine grapes seem to do just fine?
Grapes in their origin are very hardy plants. They will thrive in the toughest of environments, really. Where other fruit crops that need an agricultural hand continuously to sustain them, grapes can thrive and flourish with very little of man's care, really.
Okay, so now with conditions that are hotter and drier than usual, what kind of quality do the grapes take on, and does in turn the wine take on?
Well, at least, I can speak for here in Texas. We found that we got much more intense aromas, much more robust flavors from a smaller, less developed berry that had less water enveloped over the course of its ripening. So more intense, more rich, and just an all-around better wine quality.
Is there, you're describing wine grapes as almost being impervious to temperature and weather conditions. Is that essentially the case?
Absolutely. I mean, ambient temperatures and weather, they play a big role in the ripening of wine grapes in specific. You can have, season temperatures that are high. They can do several things. Temperatures above 100 degrees will stop the photosynthesis process of grape maturity. But if you have dry conditions that are a little lower than 100 degrees, you can actually create some very nice phenolic compounds in the grapes naturally that are very favorable to winemaking.
I'm talking to John Rivenberg. He's the owner of Bending Branch Winery. It's in Texas, Comfort, Texas. Website is bendingbranchwinery.com. So as the owner of a winery, what is your greatest concern when it comes to the grapes themselves? Is there really any kind of issue that could potentially destroy the crop for the year?
Well, I can tell you, besides insects and your basic fungal pathogens that you kind of find on a regular basis growing grapes, because those are just things you don't want in your wines when you're making wines. This year, for instance, right now, we've been having some pretty intense rain showers down here in central Texas, which is causing, literally as we speak, my berries to burst, and what they call, water rot. So too much rain transversely from the hot and dry, which is what we've had most of the year. Now at ripening time, would be normally 3 weeks away from ripening. We're almost ripe, and the hydro retention of the grapes is being compromised by the amount of water that's going into them. So
does that make the grapes useless then once that happens?
Then at that point it becomes somewhat useless. I mean, we'll definitely have a reduced crop from that. But the ones that are salvaged will be fantastic to make wine from. So, I mean, it's farming. At the end of the day, all this stuff comes back to comes back to farming, and you've got to give a little to get a little, I guess.
So I'm imagining you sitting there in his, a very picturesque Texas scenery there at your winery. It's probably, someone might say, it's almost like a dream come true to be a winery owner. How do you end up in the position you're in?
Well, I tell you, Michael, this has been a family project. My father-in-law and I started this project on paper about 6 years ago, and quickly moved into the growing stage and winemaking stage thereafter. He was transitioning out of medicine. I had a flourishing career in commercial construction down here in South Texas, and we just one day decided that we thought it would be great to start a family business. I've got two young children, and he and I just really, really liked and relished the idea of having something that he and I both could work together and leave for them.
Did you buy the land then, and then proceed with the winery?
We did. It took us about a year and a half. We did a year and a half search based on some basic viticulture principles that we wanted for our region. Being out of the frost zone, a nicer elevation, good water, a ridge top, which is real, real big in Texas. You really need to have some nice prevailing winds. It helps with a lot of the humidity and fungal things that we have here, probably much like what they deal with in Michigan, I would imagine.
Well, it's interesting because in Traverse City, in that area of the state, the western, northwestern part of the state, we do have a very big winery community. And it seems like you can, construct a winery and grow wine grapes almost anywhere in the country. Is that essentially the case?
It is. The misnomer that California is the only place you could ever have a winery has been kind of intriguing to me just from a historic standpoint. Before Prohibition, there were wineries all over the United States. Texas actually had the most amount of wineries, commercial wineries, before Prohibition.
Mm-hmm.
But there's lots of favorable places to grow grapes. Virginia's got a very flourishing winery community. Idaho, Michigan.
Tell me now, when you decide to do this, is your first batch of wine, does it tend to be, less than perfect or maybe potentially horrible?
There's always the potential. It's not that much different than being a chef. There's always the potential for something to go wrong. I like a lot of folks who get into this business. We went back, got some education on oenology and on viticulture, I think education and research is a tool that will help you curb that. We've knock on wood so far, we've been pretty lucky with the success of our wines.
How much wine do you produce, and how much do you need to produce to make a living at this stuff?
We will, this year, this harvest coming up over the next 2.5-3 months, we'll make roughly 5,200 cases of wine. So when we bounce back and forth seasonally, like I said, it's an agricultural product, so depending on the season, we'll make anywhere from 3,000 to 5,000 cases.
See, now, is this a single annual process, or do you actually grow and harvest several times in a year?
No, it's a single annual process. We actually have vineyards spread out across Texas. We've got vineyards in the central Texas we're actually just outside of Austin, Texas, as a point of reference for most people. We've got vineyards here in the Texas Hill Country. Then we have vineyards in West Texas, which are almost on the New Mexican border. And then we also have some interest in some vineyards in California. So we're pretty well spread out. So it's about a 3-month process annually to make wine.
Now, I'm guessing you're an expert in tasting wine also. What do you make of these studies where they find that sometimes the very cheapest wine can be thought to be the best wine by those that don't know what they're drinking?
Well, there's with over, a billion palates out there, you can make a wine for just about everybody. Cost, in my opinion, doesn't always necessarily drive quality. You can have a very large winery that has the economic scale to be able to make a very, very high caliber wine that they can produce very inexpensively. So there's a wine for everybody. And I think that, uh, that's pretty much what those studies are coming out will tell you. If you ask 10 people, we'll give you 10 different opinions generally. So.
And the type of wine that your winery makes and is made in your area in Texas, is there a particular kind that is most popular?
There is. We focus on a grape called Tannat, T-A-N-N-A-T. It's what here in the United States they call true black. So at harvest time, the pulp, the juice, and the skin are all a very deep, rich purple or black color. And that's kind of our signature grape that we work with.
And when it comes to alcohol, I'm going to guess that wine is your favorite, beats the beer and the rest of it?
Well, you know, I mean, I love wine first, but I can tell you at crush time, when you spent 16, 17 hours making wine for 7, 8, 9 days straight sometimes, a cool beer is pretty nice to have on occasion.
Indeed. One last thing, then. You're saying, then, that really for wine wineries, wine grower, or grape wine grape growers, I should say, there really is no such thing as a season where the crops are wiped out, as we're seeing with the fruit crops this year here in Michigan?
Well, no, I would not say that in total. I mean, there have been instances in Texas where we've had early season frost. So before we've actually even had fruit on the vines, you know, our crop has been completely wiped out by flowers being frozen. There are years where hail storms will come through and damage a crop. There's occasions where we may have an insect or bird infestation that we'll go through. So there are definitely years. California, the last 3 years, for instance, is having very un-California-like weather, and they've been having some cold, wet, late seasons, which in turn has pretty much devastated a lot of their commercial growers.
Well, one thing's for sure, though, the hot and the dry conditions are never a bad thing.
No, absolutely. Not in my opinion. I think hot and dry is always a really good way to go for wine grapes.
John Rivenberg, owner of the Bending Branch Winery. Find him online at bendingbranchwinery.com. That is in Comfort, Texas, part of the Texas Hills Country Winery Association. John, thanks for joining us on WILS this evening.
Thanks, Mike. Have a great evening.
You too. And, you know, we're just going to walk our way through to the end of the program here. Do we have a commercial? We do. Well, we'll take a break and be right back.